And a good Wednesday morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Today, education is the featured In Focus. We have USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed joining us in studio. Good morning.
Morning, Brandon.
And we also have Board Member Leah Flyder joining us.
Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, it's good to have you guys both in. Leah, will this be your last show?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the school board.
Thank you. And
he's been awesome.
Oh, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, we come at you here tonight, the last school board meeting here before the holiday break next week, and some interesting things going to happen tonight, including the big news tonight will be the naming of the new elementary school in Blue Township.
Yeah, go Leah. I'll let you go.
Okay, well, we are just so pleased to vote tonight to name the new elementary school that we're building in Blue Township. We're going to name it the Oliver Brown Elementary School. Reverend Brown was the namesake plaintiff in the Brown v. Board of Education school desegregation case, and we felt that this would be a great way to recognize not only him and his family, but the process that has touched so many school kids, not only in Kansas and nationwide, but in our district. And we're just so very proud to do that tonight.
That was a landmark case.
It was.
That really, desegregated schools.
It did.
Truly.
It did.
And not too long ago. I think that's the important piece. And what we're really excited about is having a little educational corner about why the name of the building exists there and being able to highlight that with kids. And I've had the pleasure in this process of contacting the Brown family and working with them on some announcements. And first of all, to get permission to see if this was something that was okay with them, and it was just great. So I think we can pull into their resources and their knowledge to tap into that it wasn't just the Brown family, that it was a
That's
compilation
right.
of several other families, and kind of do a little recognition that there was a lot of hard things that their family had to go through and these other families had to go through to give people the right to attend school together. And we kind of take it for granted now, and we shouldn't forget that.
When you look at the diversity that is in the different schools in Manhattan and Ogden, and if you would talk to any of these youngsters in those schools and tell them that, you know, they're not that long ago here, generation before, a couple generations before.
1950s.
For
me, I'm getting old enough where that doesn't sound like that long ago.
Yeah.
Maybe to our kids that sounds like ancient history, but it's really not.
But it's really not. Yeah. Hmm. And so it's just... it was, a pretty involved process. We took input from the community, and we had a naming committee. And I would kind of like to recognize them. The naming committee was Jardine Coleman, who's on the board, Marsha Roselle, who formerly served on the board, and several people who were on our USD 383 Yes committee. Megan Kramer, Trent Dunlap, Cameron Ward. Am I missing anybody?
You got them all.
All right. And we really want to thank them for all their hard work on this important decision.
Yeah, they kind of took the suggestions, 100-plus suggestions and narrowed it down and had some good reasons and support for why they recommended what they did and brought it forth to the district committees to run through that. And so, I mean, it wasn't an easy process all the way through, but it was a clear process, too.
Yeah.
So I think we came out with the right decision. So it's still a difficult decision because you can't name it everything, and we've got a lot of people that have done a lot of great things for kids and in our community, but Oliver Brown's one of those unsung heroes that did something that impacts everybody that maybe not a lot of people realize. And so I think what I love about that is highlighting that and making that known to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very good. We do have a caller who has a comment, so let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Well, you may have just answered some of my questions. However, when was this all vetted, and when was it voted on, and who suggested the name? My question being, as a lifelong resident, gone through all the schools here, didn't we have anyone in this area that would be deserving that we would honor? There's several people that I can think of off the top of my head. Dr. Joan Spiker was in the district for years. You had Sylvester Benson. This man is not from here, has nothing to do with Riley County or this district. Who suggested it, and how did we just come to this decision that this is it? Maybe it should have been voted on by citizens of the community that pay the taxes for these schools. I'd like to hear your answer, please.
Well, I did kind of explain the process that we took suggestions, and we took those anonymously, but we had several hundred suggestions come into the district. Then we vetted it through a couple committees, one naming committee to kind of get it down, and then a district committee to do that, and we're bringing it forward to vote. I'm not going to talk a lot about why we didn't name it other things more than we'll talk about why we did name it what we did. And we're grateful and we're proud of the decision we made. It might not have been somebody specifically from this area, but it's somebody that did impact our kids in our district in a very positive way.
Thanks, Eric.
And you know, you have other schools that are named for people who aren't from here. Woodrow Wilson, Susan B. Anthony. I mean, there's the legacy that Oliver Brown left behind is one that needs to be told again and again and again.
Yeah, and we're understanding that there's a lot of people that this is worthy for, but we also think the name we chose has a lot of validity and a lot of value.
Well, speaking of that school in particular here, where are we at in the process of getting closer maybe to a ribbon cutting, groundbreaking?
We should go out to bid. I believe they're finishing the design documents and ready to do some pre-bids, and we should be going out to bid on that relatively soon. So we should have something back to the board, I think, early 2020. Maybe before Leah's off the board, we'll have a GMP, but probably not. I think that'd be pretty optimistic.
I'll come back for the groundbreaking.
Yeah, that'll be great. So I would expect something like that happening this spring. So we should be ready to go on dirt work.
Well, that's exciting. I didn't know a lot of people are looking forward to having that out there. And a lot of those kids, where do they go to school now who live out there?
Most of them,
Woodrow Wilson, right?
Woodrow Wilson and Bluemont are the two main territories that would cover the east side of the river.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's exciting news. And that was obviously a big story that broke here late last week, and the board will vote on that tonight. I'm sure that's going to pass. Some other items coming up on the agenda here tonight?
Well, our school safety and communications director, Michelle Jones, is going to give our safety and security annual report, and that's something that we're really recognized statewide for our work in school safety. We do a lot of prep throughout the year to help our first responders know, you know, what's going on in our buildings and to help our students and our staff be safe throughout the year. And so Michelle's going to present that report tonight, and we're very thankful to her for that.
Yep. Another thing coming up, we also have a GMP, which is a guaranteed maximum price on our College Hill facility that we have coming. We've been working on that to get that project in budget. We worked clear into the evening yesterday, and we did get it in budget.
Awesome.
So we will bring in an in-budget GMP for the board to consider tonight for College Hill. So those bids are out, and that construction will be able to start relatively soon as well.
That's great news. I'll tell you, as somebody who drives past that every day, my only regret is that I didn't get to, you know, drive the bulldozer that demolished like that, the 1950s building out there at College Hill. It's nice to see that working. That's something that we knew has been an issue for many of us for many years on the board. And so it's nice to see that project
we're
moving
excited.
Forward. Yeah.
You see ground moving out there, but right down here on Casement, I see a lot of ground moving on the maintenance facility as well.
Yes. Yeah. That's great for our folks who work so hard to keep our schools safe and clean and keep our grounds. You know, they deserve an efficient, effective place to work. Yeah, and we're happy to do that.
And they were really in a subpar situation.
Yeah, they were.
They were in a really tough spot as far as what they could do and what they couldn't do in that building and the access and the levels and just all kinds of reasons. So we're very excited about that. So yeah, if demo's already done on that, groundwork's in place, they're putting that foundation starting very soon. So we're excited about that. And I know the group is too. They're a group that they're the unsung heroes of 383 because they pick up and they do anything for anybody. You know, they'll drop what they're doing to drive a bus and to help kids get to school or to get home from school. And then they're going to go
be a crosswalk guard or
they're going to fix a toilet and then they're going to drive the bus. Then they're going to, you know, pat someone on the back and tell them have a great day. They make an impact. They truly do.
Yeah. We were talking before we went on the air too. Eric and I were kind of looking at the list of the local contractors who've already been involved in the various, you know, projects that are getting started even since, you know, the bond was passed last year. And it's an incredible list, and it takes up a page already, one side of a page of paper. And I would say, what, 95% are local firms. So
yeah, local, within 30 miles.
Within 30 miles, yeah. So that's, you know, it's already impacting the local economy, and it's a big economic development issue for us as well as a community.
Yeah, well, people love to hear that. That's just
money
in our pockets here in the
community. Exactly.
Well, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back more with Leah Flatter and Eric Reed here, USD 3D3, the featured guests here on In Focus today. More after this on KMAN.